thought, you know, this Saturday I'll be going home, and my son has a birthday Sunday. He'll be 46 years old. He's going on his 9th year of having to have every bite that he eats fed to him, every drink of water given to him. He can't roll over. If he gets hurt in the eye, I sit by his foot of his bed. I've done it over and over again, lift his legs because he's in pain. That kind of helps him, you know. You get hurt and you can pull your leg up, you can move over, but he can't. And I thought, if my son was up here preaching and I was John Gabbard, I'd be on my feet. I wouldn't care if people thought I was being partial or not. Amen. On the lighter side, though, Brother Brent Gabbard said, when he's preaching, he said, I could preach better if it wasn't for the cup. And I was thinking, well, I think I could preach this better if it wasn't for barbecued ribs. If I'd done more praying and less eating last night, I think this would go better. And then I thought, and it would sound better, though. My preaching would sound better if it wasn't for the cup. His name's Brent Gabbard. So, amen, that's great preaching. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed right from beginning to end. I just happy. And happy for the message we heard last night. And so, I trust the Lord to help us. I've been trying to get this straightened out in my mind. I want to just ask you a question. I know this is not the way to get into preaching. I don't know how to get into preaching. I really don't. I've tried it for years. But we are glad to see everyone and glad to be back at Keene Mountain. Glad to see the friendly mountains and the friendly people. Yeah. And all of you that are here. I want to say this. I want to thank you for the offering. But let me say this. If you're kind of on hard circumstances and you're thinking, I'd like to help Brother Randy in the church here, or I would like to help Brother Charles, what should I do? My advice is help the church. Amen. They need the help, and they need you to support them. And I'll get along, but the church needs to not have to have us come here and enjoy all the blessings and hospitality and then leave them with a load. So if you're a little short on money, put it in for the church offering. Would you do it? I'd appreciate it. What I was going to ask you, do you suppose the scripture says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, that's in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Do you reckon they'll just sing it one time? Do you reckon it'll just be said one time? Do you reckon they'll... I know the Bible says when he takes a book, you know, they'll say you're worthy. And I know they'll praise him for redemption through the blood. But it just seems like to me, if I didn't believe that you're going to be active in heaven, I'd have to accept soul sleep. And since I don't believe in soul sleep, I believe the saints are active in heaven, praising the Lord and thanking him for what he's done for them and telling him he's worthy and praising him for the blood that saved them from sin. Don't you? Amen. I really do. I want to read from the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke. Thank the Lord. I don't know if I can preach or not, but I can feel good anyway. All right. 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke. And again, it's good to be with you all. Glad to see all the preacher brethren and just be here with Brother Randy Webb and just listen to him and the wit that he has, the ability he has. It's wonderful. All right. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoiceth me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which needeth no repentance. Either what woman have 10 pieces of silver, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Now, if you remember yesterday, I preached, I hope I did, on the resurrection. But the reason I preached on the resurrection was because of the fact the Bible said the reason why it behooved him to suffer and to be raised again was that repentance and remission of sins or forgiveness of sin should be preached in all, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And I read to you from different places in the Bible where the Lord said, told him, and Mark had told him, go in all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We talked about that. We talked about Matthew saying, amen, that they were to preach the gospel. And we talked about John talking about they were to preach the gospel. And here we're reading here how heaven responds. And I'm not just talking about heaven as far as the angels, because angels don't know the worth of a sheep. But it's someone up there that knows the worth of that sheep that's rejoicing whenever that one sheep gets home. Amen. That's what I want to keep that in mind. I don't know. I want to help you if I can. But the Bible said the Pharisees and scribes murmured and said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It seems to me, I don't know this, but it seems to me that the scribes and Pharisees were more interested in the cause and the curse of sin than the healing or the cure of sin. Seemed like they were more taken up with that. Now, I want to read you a few scriptures, and I hope that I don't wear you out with this, but I just want to read you a few scriptures. Like in Luke 13, the Bible says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galilean whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And we can get the idea of what they were talking about, because they said, Jesus answered and said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall be all likewise perish. Yeah. Amen. Are those 18 of whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, they thought because of the hard circumstances that come to these people, that proved that they were worse sinners than those around them. But Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all perish. Amen. If we had a church that was a wild and worldly church and it got blew away, we might say, well, that's God's judgment for where they live. But Jesus would say to us, unless we repent, we'll perish just like they do. That's what I'm trying to say to you this morning. I want to talk to you a little bit. I feel like that we need to realize the need for a cure of sin. We don't need to be trying to figure out who sinned and how bad their sin, as far as I'm concerned, but we need to let them know that there is a cure for sin. Let me read you another scripture. This is a scripture, I know I've read it to you before, maybe last year, I'm not sure. I wouldn't know for sure about that. But I want to read it to you if I can. In St. John's Gospel, the 9th chapter, you know that as well as I, what it's about the man that was blind, and the question was asked. This is what it says. And as Jesus passed by, saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered. I want to do this. I've done this different times, but I'm trying to get something across to you. Amen. I don't mean to disrespectful, but I think that he said, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, period. That's it. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Then he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He didn't say, as it reads in my Bible, I don't think he said, neither this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I don't believe that. I believe he said, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. I'm here, and since I'm here, I'm going to manifest the works of God in him. And so he healed that man. He opened his eyes, put spittle, you know, on the clay, and put it on his eyes, had him go wash in pool of Siloam. And, of course, they began to ask him about him, and he said he's a prophet, and they didn't want to accept that. They got his parents and asked him if he was the one that's blind. He said yes. They would admit what had happened because they were going to be put out of the synagogue, excommunicated from the church. And so finally they got on over and they started talking to that man again, and they said to him, said, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner, that man that healed. The reason he was a sinner, he healed him on the Sabbath day, you know. And they so... He answered and said, whether be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said to them, why, hearing is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered him and said to him, thou wast altogether born in thy sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They couldn't get over the fact that he would, had sinned. That's the reason why he was blind to begin with. That it was a matter of sin. That's the reason why when Job's three friends came there in the second chapter of book of Job, there in the seventh verse there in the second chapter, and they saw him, and they saw him so sick and all the things that happened to him. They sat down astonished for 7 days, didn't know what to say to him, because his Job's grief was so great, the Bible said. But at the end of 7 days, they got it all figured out, and they told him how bad a sinner he was, or he wouldn't be sick. Always they could see the curse. They could see that, but they couldn't see the cure. I'm trying to talk to you just a little while, if I can, about this. But you see, Jesus didn't send us, amen, to try to figure out how and what and where. But he did send us, amen, to preach the gospel and get men and women saved. Right. Amen. Do you remember the Bible says in the book of John, the 20th chapter, and the Bible said in the 21st verse, then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. I don't I claim to have all the understanding. What I want you to understand, though, is he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I'm trying to tell us this morning that we've got a job to do to reach the lost. We sometimes forget them. We get busy and forget them. But Jesus said when he breathed on them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember this one that found that sheep and carried him home. Heaven rejoiced. Amen. It's a matter of being in tune with heaven. Amen. To reach out for the lost. It's a matter of being in tune with the desires of heaven that men and women might be saved. No wonder the Bible said you should receive power after the Holy Ghost. And we think about that dynamite power, but at that time, they didn't know anything about dynamite. What they needed was power to witness to a lost and dying world. You shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And on the first, that day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 people got saved. Amen. As my Father sent you, you say, well, don't you think we ought to preach against sin? Certainly I do. But at the same time, I don't want to neglect the fact that there's a vast majority of people out there that don't know God and they need to be saved and they need to hear the good news that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Hallelujah. That's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm not trying to be smart or hateful in any way about that. Amen. But I'm just if we can decide on what the Father sent Jesus for, and he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And I don't go out here, I can't remit sins just because I want to remit them. But Jesus said that he only said what the Father said, and what he heard the Father say, and he only did what he seen the Father do. And I know that you know this. Brother Gabbard knows this. Every preacher knows this. There's times when people come to the altar and you feel victory before they do. Amen. It comes to you right out of heaven. That soul is going to be saved and you know it's going to be. Amen. I remember reading about Charles Finney, I think it was, that was at this noted doctor's house. And this doctor had a brother that come from and for that meal that they're going to have a meal with, and so out of respect to the brother, they asked him to ask the blessing. This brother started praying, and he just kept on praying. He broke down. He got under a burden. Tears flowing. Dinner getting cold. Finally jumped up and run to a room. Went to praying in there. Charles Finney left the table, went with him. They got in there and praying. And pretty soon the doctor came. And of course he was upset. Amen. The doctor came, knocked on the door. He had no desire to be religious. But when they opened the door, they said, you're going to get saved. Amen. God's going to save you. He flashed. But before it's over, he was by his chair, kneeling down and praying through and seeking God and getting saved. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to reach the lost. Hallelujah. I'm trying to talk to you this morning about the fact maybe there's something we're neglecting in our ministry and in our life as a church, and of the fact that God sent us to seek and to save that which was lost. He expects us to be in tune with heaven until we know, amen, for sure that God is moving in the direction he's moving, and move with God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'd like to live a life of Christ. Wouldn't you? I'd like to be so in tune with heaven that Christ can speak to me just like he spoke, his Father spoke to him, amen, and guide me and direct me that souls might be saved. I still believe we can have revival. I know we need a revival in the church, but at the same time we need one of them old soul soaking revivals that reaches out and pulls people to the altar and prays them true. Hallelujah. I'm not doing very good, but I'm trying to preach to you this. Amen. Let me go back to my text here. The Bible said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one? I've tried to imagine that. He must have lost them early in the day. He lost them. He noticed that. It might have been when they were coming at the end of the day. They might have had a I would call it a corral, a sheepfold. that he put the sheep in. And he usually would rod them and take care of their wounds and what have you, make sure everything's all right. But today, amen, as he starts to take care of them, he looks and sees that one black sheep is gone. Immediately, he's gone. Amen. Instead of doing like he usually does, he herds them quickly in the corral. He shuts the door or the gate, and he starts looking. I can hear the sheep bleeding back there. They're crying because of the fact the good shepherd ain't there. Amen. They got wounds he hasn't healing. They got needs. They got burns they need to take care of. Some of them need just have a cup of cold water poured over their head. They're heavy with lamb, and they need some attention, special attention. But the shepherd's gone. And why is he gone? He's gone because there's a sheep there that's not there. That sheep is lost. That sheep's out there somewhere, and it's important that he find that. He's got 99, but that one's lost. How important it is. Amen. It's important enough. The Bible said that heaven rejoices over that one sheep more than 99. You know why? They're secure there. They may not feel secure, but they are secure because of the fact that they're there. Amen. They may not be getting their needs met. They may be crying or they may be griping because they got a headache and the pastor ain't been to see them. Amen. But there might be a sheep out there that's lost and needs help. Amen. I don't know. Anybody here ever tend to sheep? All right. We had a neighbor had sheep. We were so poor we didn't have anything but just desire to have something. Amen. That's all. But anyway, we had a neighbor had sheep, and his boy same age as mine. You go out there, and those sheep are out there, and you go looking for them. You can't find them, maybe. Amen. Down in the hills of Arkansas, you go out. And you have a special call. I don't know why they do it, but up there they say, "Kushibi, Kushibi, Kushibi, huh? Kushibi, Kushibi, Kushibi." And you keep walking. Every once in a while you stop, "Kushibi, Kushibi," and then you'd hear them maybe they'd bah, bah. You know where to go. But this guy's out there looking for him. In my mind, if you could just take all the trees off of these mountains here in Virginia, you might get a picture of where he's at. He's out in those mountains, and that sheep possibly has been over there just grazing along. Didn't really mean to get where he's at, but he sees some nice, fresh grass. Amen. It's just over down just a little bit, but to go down, he's got to jump over a little crag and go down, and when he gets down there and eats all he can eat, then he wants back, but he can't get back. Amen. He'd like to be back, but he can't be back. He jumps, he bleats, he does everything he does. He gets bruised, he gets scratched, he gets hurt. Amen. The only hope for him is that the good shepherd comes and finds him. The Bible talks about that high priest, that our priest that has compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. The ignorant is those that don't know better. Those that wandered away. There's that sheep. Amen. That always has problems staying with the flock. He wanders away and now he's confused and don't know where to go. He's waiting on the good shepherd. I wonder if we just look around in the hills of Virginia, if we might see one just out there. Amen. Just out there and say, "Well, I didn't mean to do this." I remember a woman one night that left the church. Amen. Her husband had left her. Amen. It just, it throwed everything in confusion. He'd been saved, filled the Holy Ghost. She'd been saved, filled the Holy Ghost. She had a little girl that saved, fill the Holy Ghost. Her older daughter saved, fill the Holy Ghost. Amen. And all of a sudden, this husband just up and leaves there. Amen. And finally, amen, she just keeps getting a little. I've seen God wonderfully bless her, but she just kept getting a little farther and a little farther and a little farther and a little farther away and just kept on going, you know. Amen. And finally, she completely quit the church. Amen. And so today, she's backslidden and her daughter's in bad shape. Amen. Her baby daughter in bad shape, an alcoholic. Her older daughter's in bad shape. I saw her pray the other night. Thank God for it. I preached and they came and they prayed. I thank the Lord for it. Amen. But listen, amen. That moment I saw her sometime later, she said, "I didn't mean to go as far as I went." Amen. As far as I know, she's still out there. But there's something in her that says, "I'd like to hear the good shepherd call my name and know that I can get back and get out all this mess and find the Lord one more time. I think there's some good, honest people. I know there's people that's bitter. There's people that's hard. There's people that's mad. But there's also those out there, amen, they've wandered away, and now they don't know, and the devil's telling them, your life's in such a mess, you can't ever get it straightened out. But I want to tell you, my friend, our Lord come to seek and to save that which is lost. He found the woman at the well of Samaria. He found the woman cast out seven devils. He found another woman. She washed his feet and dried him with the hair of her head. Amen. He found them. The Pharisees could only see the curse, but he knew the cure. Hallelujah. And I want you to know we have a good shepherd that's interested in your salvation and my salvation. And he wants to save our children and our friends and our neighbors. We need to focus on that. Hallelujah. You know, this may not be right, but in the book of Revelation, first church wrote to, and I don't know sometimes, but I think God about that. I thought John was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And I thought, now isn't that ironic? The disciple of love has to write to church that's left its first love. But that probably wasn't right. He probably just went there. I don't know. But anyway, but it did make me feel kind of good because I failed so many times trying to help folks, you know. Amen. I thought, John, the disciple of love, if he couldn't get his church straight in love, wouldn't mean nothing I could do, you know. That gives you excuse, and it'll help. Anyway. All right. But under the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast them which say they're apostle or not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast a patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I read this. I don't know if it's so, but I read this one time. I read it where the introduction usually would tell you something about the problem in that church. Amen. If it's so, then he held the seven stars. That's the ministry. That's the pastors. If I understand those stars, amen. If we got it interpreted right, that's the pastors. And look what they done. They were doing very good, but they left their first love. I don't know this is the way it is, but it seems like to me in the Bible, just like it was when I got saved and the Lord called me to preach, my first love was reaching the lost, amen. Do you reckon they got so busy keeping the church straight that they forgot about the lost? Is it possible? Amen. And I'm not against, I believe you ought to preach holiness. But I'll tell you what, I think once in a while, I think Paul had the right idea when he wrote to Timothy and he said, do the work of an evangelist. Amen. Praise God. Make up your mind. There's still some people out there to be saved. I had a preacher tell me years and years ago, he's a good friend of mine, but he told me, he said, I used to get people saved, but right now it's just taking all I can do to keep my people, help them stay saved and help them get to heaven. Amen. And so he neglected preaching the lost because he had to preach the same thing, and he usually preached on two or three things every Sunday. So he got it every Sunday. You got it every Sunday. And so he had good old time holiness going his way, but at the same time, what about the work of the... I'm not critical of you, brethren, and I know we don't preach holiness often enough, and I tell people, look, somebody said to me about me pastoring, I don't pastor anymore. I started pastoring 59, and I quit in March of this, or April of this year. Amen. So I thought I'd put in a pretty good time in it, you know. Amen. And so, but I told them, I said, right now what I'm doing is I'm going around treating all these other churches out because they can't come and see how mine's run. Hallelujah. No, but I'm just simply saying, for, you know, I see times when I was pastoring that I get so worked up about things going on in my church that I'd forget, that I just forget. Amen. I just forget. I didn't mean to, but I just forgot. And sometimes churches get that way. And I don't know that it'll work every time. I don't believe it will. But when I came back in 1980 to the church at Thayer, I told them, I said, we're going to change things around. Amen. We're going to change things. I said, we got people coming to Sunday school. They leave before preaching. They don't stay for preaching. I said, I want all the teenagers up in my class. I want to teach for an hour about soul, and I want to have an altar call. I ain't going to preach after that. I'm going to teach. Amen. We're going to focus on lost people. Amen. We built a church. We got a church built now. That's over with. Let's focus on the lost. Amen. And so I did that. Well, in 3 months, I said, give me 3 months to try it. Well, in 3 months, I had some of them old timers come around and said, you know, we always had preaching, and I don't like this. And I finally listened to them. But during that 3 months, God started to move. 20-some people got saved. It got to where that when you'd have a song service, I'd get saved. Amen. You got to where I'd teach and give an altar call and get saved. You never knew when God was going to move, but we were focusing on the lost. And I'm not the age I can do it anymore, but I want to tell you something else. Amen. I spent all night long praying and seeking God for that service. Amen. I never went to bed for years and years and years. Amen. Had a lot saved. Went from in the upper 40s to running average at 120. Amen. For a long time. And then we had a great move of God. My son-in-law started a revival and people started getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the thing that saved that church from going out of existence for the fact that God in his mercy gave us a revival of reaching the lost. Hallelujah. I'm talking about this. Amen. And so the church at Ephesus, I've got you pastors in my right hand. You, it's your fault. You left your first love. Amen. You've forgotten what it's like. Amen. Get out of burden for somebody and pray until God sends them by and they get saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, woo! I like it, don't you? I like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me go a little farther. Yeah. Look at this. The first we have a good shepherd. He's out there. Cushy bee. Cushy bee. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, just cry. Listen. Listen. There he is down there. He looks up so pitiful. Amen. He didn't mean it. That grass don't mean anything to him anymore. But he can't get out. But when the Savior reached down for me, extended that shepherd's crook, brought him out, put him on his shoulders, and he said, I got to take this somewhere where I can rejoice in this. I got to find other people that know what sheep are worth. Amen. They ain't no use taking them to King Mountain because they're coal miners. They don't know anything about sheep. Amen. But anyway, hallelujah. You know, they'd be happy if I opened up a vein of coal. But anyway, I'm not making fun of you. I believe you have revival and have concern for the lost. No, you do. But I'm simply saying he took them where somebody could appreciate it. He said it was in heaven. Amen. You're coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, general assembly and church of the firstborn which are in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hallelujah. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. Thou hast redeemed us. Amen. I'll tell you, heaven is a place of activity as far as I'm concerned. Amen. Right now in heaven, they're rejoicing. Somebody just got saved in Korea or in Vietnam or in Israel or somewhere around the world. Somebody got saved and they're shouting and rejoicing in heaven. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, folks, amen, when somebody comes to your altar and gets saved, you that want to and can get around them and pray them through, and the rest of you shout and praise God because they're praying. Hallelujah. It ought to be a joyous time. If heaven can rejoice over one soul that repenteth, surely our churches can rejoice when it's our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's move on. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors in together, saying, rejoice with me, I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Hallelujah. We're not talking about those 99 now. He finally got back. Amen. He's went in and doctored all those others that were crying and carrying on about being neglected. Amen. Everything's happy. Everything's good. Now we've moved on to a woman. I heard K.A. Smith preach this years ago, and I just took it to be right, that he said this is part of her dowry. And those 10 pieces of silver was coins that her lover had given to her. And she was to keep them intact until he came for her and took her to be his bride. Now, I'm just telling that because I never did look it up. I just took K.A. Smith, a intelligent man, and I figured he knew what he's talking about. You know, so if that didn't write, it didn't write. But I want you to look at this. Look at this. Here is a different story. In that other, and he recognized that sheep. Each sheep was individual. But this coin looked just like all the other coins. But it was lost. It was not lost outside. It's lost in the house. You remember I heard a man preach one time on lost in the house of God. Huh? And it's lost in the house. And she lights a candle. Jesus said when he found that man that was blind, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But in the fifth chapter, he said, you are the light of the world. Talking about the church. A city set up on a high hill which cannot be hid. And here's the thing that I see here. Amen. You know, the thing about it, not only do we have lost people outside the church, we have lost people sometimes in the church. And the sad thing about it is they look just like we look. And we can't tell. But we can feel. You know, they used to set up here, now they sit back there. They used to come on every week night service, now they only come on Sunday morning. They're slowly being separated, and they're getting away. They still look like we look, but they need somebody to light a light and start looking. Hallelujah. They need some cause. Amen. You remember the Bible said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God or fall from grace. Looking diligently. Not only are we committed to reaching the lost. Oh, I love the Lord, don't you? Not only are we committed to reach the lost outside, we're committed to be our brother's keeper on the inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about we decide. You know, we'll leave the preacher preach, but in our lives, we'll keep our light shining bright. We'll keep our testimony. The Bible said, lift up the hand, hang down the feet, and the feeble knees and make straight paths to your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men. It says we need to realize this. The Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, I'm almost 81 years old. I've been saved ever since 1955. I spent 2 years in the service. Amen. I went in there a saved person. I come out a saved person. I can face any whack, any nurse, that's where I worked in the hospital, or any man. Amen. I can face them right now in the judgment because I did nothing to seduce anyone or make any bad. I never told no bad jokes, huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. I can't quit now. I can't quit now. Hallelujah. Keep your light shining. Because somebody out there needs you to find them. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone out there needs you to find them. Listen, Jesus said, he had a special deal. He had that. He said, go rather, he told him to go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Talking about the people, the Jews, had gotten away from God and went back on and wasn't attending synagogue anymore. Talking about them. That's all he's working with. Amen. We got those on the outside. We got them on the inside. We got a double job to do. We got to reach those that are out there, and we got to reach these that are in here that are in a backslidden condition, are going away, losing out from God. Amen. Looking diligently, lest any man fail against God. I was thinking about that this morning, Brother David Horton. I thought, God, I'd like to take a sack full of grace, amen, and just carry it around, and everybody need a little bit, dump on them, man. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Just carry a sack full of grace around over the church, and if you need a little grace, I'll give you a little grace. Hallelujah. Look diligently, lest any man fail against grace of God, lest any root or bitterness string it up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be a fornicator, profane person, Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That potential is right here in our churches day after day after day. And brother, they need prayer. They need concern. They need a church that's willing to get the dust out of the corners, amen, and find that lost coin that separated itself, not enjoying prayer meeting anymore, not enjoying testimony service. They don't sing specials any longer, but they're still coming to church. They're still right, but deep down in here, they've got a problem, amen. They're not a part of the bride right now. They're over there in the corner somewhere. We need somehow to reach out there and get a hold of them and have him ready when Jesus comes. Say, I'm ready. I'm a church. I've done everything I can do to reach the lost inside and outside, wherever they're at. Would you lift your hands and praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A profane person. Someone that don't have time for religion anymore. They're still coming to church. Amen. But their interest lies in the world. Amen. They love the worldly amusements. They love the worldly things. They love the worldly songs. Everything. Amen. They like, but they, something says you ought to hold on. And they're trying. They're looking right. They look wholeness. But they're just going that other way. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Could we get a fire going here, Lord, that would make such a light that they would come to the brightness of that light and say, Lord, I realized. I didn't realize it, but as the church burns brighter, I realize I'm going out in darkness. And that darkness is fraught with danger. And I have no idea what awaits me out there. Oh, yes, amen. It might be good. But, you know, Moses chose to suffer, amen, the things that God's people are suffering, rather than enjoy the pleasures for a season. Oh, my, 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 my. Amen. How terrible it is when we come down to die and realize that we wasted our life for just a few moments' pleasure. One fling, one thing, and it's all over with. Amen. You know what I'd like for us to do? I'd like for us, if you have somebody that you know is lost, or you have somebody you know that's struggling right now, and if you're here this morning, and I feel like there's some here this morning, you're good people, but you're just getting a little colder and a little colder and a little colder. You're just kind of, you're going in the wrong direction. Would you come and let God speak to your heart? Would you let his fire warm your soul? Amen. Would you come this morning, amen, and say, Lord, I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you. You're my Savior. You're my King. You saved me. I remember how you saved me so well. Amen. Not yet 20 years old when you took the tobacco out of my life. You took the alcohol out of my life. You took the cussing out of my life. Lord, I've had a lot of things to battle since then. But those three things are enough to rejoice and realize what a great Savior you are. I wonder if there'd be just a way that we could just come around the altar and pray for those that are struggling. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling, would you just find your way? Nobody will know the difference. You look just like we do. Just make your way with the rest of them up here. Let's just spend some time in the altar saying, Lord, we want to be a soul-winning church. We want to be a soul-winning people. We're concerned about our brothers and sisters